And welcome back on the Sports Ticket on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. Time now to talk to Brian Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, here on the Sports Ticket as we do every week. Kind of looking at KU, right now they've got a chance to maybe be the number one team in the nation coming up this weekend if they can pick up a victory on Saturday against an Oklahoma State team that's 0-5. KU on Tuesday night. Yet another Tuesday game. They win at Oklahoma. Well, it was an ugly first half for the Jayhawks as they trailed by 9 points, but they came back to win it by 11, and just a great turnaround for KU. What were some of the things that you saw down there in Norman on Tuesday night, Brian, and the way that the Jayhawks were able to make the comeback?
Well, I think that there was a collective energy level and intensity boost that we saw, a sense of urgency, a sense of embarrassment, the way they closed out the first half, the way Bill Self kind of broke it up. He said, you know, we actually started the game pretty strong for the first 10 minutes, and then we were awful in the last 10 minutes of that first half. And then for the first 10 minutes of the second half, that's about as good as they played all year. And then he called the last 10 minutes of the game just average. But if you put all that together, he says it's pretty good, and he'll take it. Clearly, you know, you probably heard a very inspired, to say the least, halftime speech. I'm sure it was pretty fiery, to be quite honest. And we saw the guys come out and just attack. And they knew that there's no such thing as a 9-point shot. You got to piece it together. And yet, I don't think anybody would have expected that in less than 3.5 minutes, they would go from down 9 to up 4 on a 13-0 run. But that's exactly what we saw. I mean, they were getting stops on one end, steals in some cases, quick buckets on the other. The threes were suddenly falling. Speed with a couple of big ones in that stretch. Frank Mason, he had 19 second-half points, and 18 of those came pretty early in the second half. So he was terrific in that run as well. And, I think Bill Self clearly had his message received loud and clear. And hopefully that's, you know, something that you'll have to guard against is a late first half lull that they fell into. I asked Coach Self about that last night. If you know, how do you bottle up those great minutes at the start of the second half and avoid the lulls like what we saw at the end of the first half when you're pretty much only playing seven guys, because sometimes fatigue can set in when you're working out with a seven-man rotation. He didn't think that that had anything to do with it. He just thinks his guys kind of dialed it back and maybe thought it would come easier than it did. And once the activity and intensity level went up in that second half, you know, we really saw the cream rise to the top.
You know, we're talking with Brian Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, here on the Sports Ticket. This is brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle at 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Brian, you mentioned the three-point shooting that started going down for Kansas in that game against Oklahoma, and one guy in particular that you mentioned was Frank Mason. You said he's had 28 points. That included 5 of 6 from three-point land. What are you seeing maybe from Frank that you're seeing with his improvement in three-point shooting here over the last few games?
Well, really, season-long, he's been terrific. Sure. Now, you're right, the last few games, what's he at, 68% in league play. But season-long, and we're talking about a 55% three-point shoot. And we were talking probably 4 weeks ago, maybe 5 weeks ago, when he was north of 50% there, too. And we all agree, there's no way that can last the full season. Well, here he is a month later. It's actually gone up with the flurry of late. He dipped down into the 47-48 range for a while there. But, hey, I mean, anything north of 40% you'll take out of him. Anything in the mid-40s would be terrific out of him. Devontae Graham, who I think most would pick in a three-point shooting contest, either him or Sfee, yeah, Devontae's at 38% right now, and you still feel like it's going in most times it leaves his hand. But Frank put in a ton of time in the offseason to work on his outside shot, and we expected there would be a bump. I don't know that we could have seen this coming. Certainly not this deep into the season. We talk about 16 games in to have 55%. I mean, that's just lights out. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it continues. But what's great is you've got Sfee, who, you know, he's only had one game all season where he hasn't hit three. And in most cases, he hits multiple threes, like we saw on Tuesday night when he had three in Norman. You've got Devontae Graham, who, you know, on any given night could fill it up for 20-plus points with a lot of threes in the mix. And now Frank Mason. And I think LeGerald Vick is an underrated three-point shooter. The percentages would show you he's very good, very efficient in that regard. He's been a little bit streaky of late, but clearly you've got some options there that have made this a very good three-point shooting team, and one that, in the absence of a bevy of bigs inside, will probably rely on that shot as much or more than many Bill Self teams have here at KU.
So, again, as I mentioned earlier, there's a chance for this team now, if they can pick up a win over Oklahoma State, to move up to number one in the rankings. In your experience with Coach Self, what does that mean to him? Does he put a lot of stock into being number one in the country?
He doesn't want it at all. You know, if he could stay at number two and, mm-hmm. and just you know, sit there for another few weeks, that'd be fine. Now, there's been teams he's had where he's been proud of that number one ranking, and they've earned it, and it's something that they can point to in recruiting if they have a longer stay there. But I think he feels like this club has not yet played at a number one in the country level consistently. Obviously, they've won 15 in a row, don't get me wrong. But you know, he wants to see that early second half effort sustained for longer stretches and fewer of those late first half minutes jumping up to grab you. And so I think in his opinion, this is absolutely one of the elite teams in the country. They're still trying to figure out how to play. You know, with only the two primary post players in Carlton and Landon, you know, Mitch and Dwight are definitely a tier below. And in a lot of games, we haven't seen them in league action. You know, the other night we just saw Mitch for a minute, Dwight for two, and that was it. And that was the first we'd seen Dwight in four Big 12 games. So I think it's a team that's still growing together. The ceiling is still a ways away in terms of what they can become. I think Coach Self wouldn't be completely comfortable with them having that number one next to their name and an even bigger target until they get a little bit closer to the optimal potential level. But the reality of it is, you're right, you beat Oklahoma State, you're going to be there. And then, as so often is the case, how many times do teams get that number one ranking and then their very next game is out on the road somewhere hostile? Just ask Scott Drew. They waited all those years in Baylor to finally become the number one team in the country. Then they had to go to Morgantown to face a top 10 team the next time out. KU will have to go to Ames on Monday, and that's obviously a place that's been tough on Kansas over the years. Tough on a lot of teams, the Hilton Coliseum. So we'll see if it comes to that, but clearly what's already a very big target on their backs might get even bigger if that's the case.
Again, we're talking with Brian Haney, the voice of the KU Jayhawks, here on The Sports Ticket. This interview brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, and life and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle at 118 North Mill and Boyd, or call them at 738-5701. Like we said, Oklahoma State's the opponent this weekend. We were talking about this before we started talking to you, Brian. Chad and I were in Oklahoma State. I don't think anybody expected them to be 0-4 in the conference going into this game. They have a couple tough losses on the road by a combined 7 points, including at Baylor this past weekend, losing by 4 down there in Waco. But their problem right now is they've lost both of their home games in Big 12 play. Got blitzed by West Virginia in their opener and then lost last night by 10 to Iowa State. What do you make of Oklahoma State and maybe the transition that they're going through coming into this weekend's game?
Well, I think they're really talented. And Bill Self has said, you know, it's perhaps the best collection of guards or guard scorers in the league this side of Kansas. I think if you put Juwan Evans and Phil Forte and Jeffrey Carroll right there, you know, neck and neck with Mason Graham and Jackson. Not in terms of accolades or anything like that, but in terms of scoring punch, you know, the numbers stack up. So certainly you are leery and wary of what they might be able to do coming in here, launching a lot of threes and you know, perhaps finally hitting their stride. You hate playing a team that's going to be in desperation mode coming up here because, shoot, man, they lose, like you said, by a fairly sizable gap last night, and yet they led inside the final 4 minutes. And so it's one of those deals where they've been close in a lot of these games, but it's not been an ability to close teams out that this team's mastered yet under Brad Underwood. But he's a terrific coach, had great success down at Stephen F. Austin, and I know league-wide a lot of coaches are respectful and fearful of what he'll be able to do at that program, and he inherited a ton of talent. They just haven't been able to finish teams off yet, and once they figure that out, I still think they could be dangerous. I would have lumped them in the category of, you know, 7 or 8 teams that I felt like 2 weeks ago when this conference schedule began had a great shot to be NCAA tournament teams. And then you look at it a fortnight later at 0-4, and suddenly you start to wonder, will they be able to piece it together in time, or are these losses piling up too quickly? So I think Kansas will face a hungry team, as hungry as any they've had at this point, and yet a team that you still feel like Kansas on its home floor should be able to beat. But for these teams that have gone into Stillwater and gotten road wins right now, when Oklahoma State's a little bit susceptible and not figuring out how to finish teams off, that may be a stroke up on the rest of the field. I like to use the golf analogy about birdieing the number one handicap hole. I'm not saying winning in Stillwater is the toughest venue in the league. Allen Fieldhouse is. But for Iowa State, if they're going to be in this Big 12 title conversation. You know, that was a great win last night, and I think there will be other good teams lose on that floor once Oklahoma State figures it out. And so, you know, you hope Kansas can defend its own home floor on Saturday.
You're almost hoping that this KU game would be at Oklahoma State right now instead of at the end of the season when I'm looking at
right.
it because of what you're just talking about. Shifting gears to the women's team here, last night was the first Sunflower Showdown between K-State and KU as K-State won 73-60. But Brandon Schneider's group is still going through some of the growing pains. Jessica Washington had a great game last night, though, with 31-7 threes. What's the feel of the women's team right now after the loss to K-State last night?
Well, I would just say this. I think that, you know, they realize they're still a ways away, and yet, you know, we saw progress. You saw flashes of it when they handled Arizona pretty good late in non-con play. They're still getting to where they're going to be personnel-wise, and that's not going to happen overnight. Some of it won't happen within this season. Mm-hmm. What Kansas fans listening to this need to hold on to hope for is the fact that Brandon Schneider in the fall signed the number three recruiting class in the Big 12 behind only Baylor in Texas. And so, yeah, you like some of the individual efforts. You've seen you reference Jessica Washington there. But in terms of the sum of the parts and all of that, it's still going to take a little while. And so this is another one of those transitional years where, you know, you hope that they'll be able to piece more together over the full 18-game conference slate to really have something momentum-wise to feed off of heading into next year. But I think we're going to really start to see his thumbprint on this program as you get a couple of full recruiting classes in, and the looks of the one that he inked this past fall and is still adding to it, a few more spots to fill, is pretty dang promising. So bear with them. Look for signs of growth over these next 2 months, but we'll really start to put our eggs in our baskets of next year with another, you know, talented class coming in and two full seasons of him having a chance to lay the foundation for what we think is going to be a really fruitful run with him at the helm.
And we don't normally talk football at this time of year, but last night, Ryan Willis, sophomore quarterback for KU, announced on his Twitter that he's going to be moving on to Virginia Tech as a walk-on. And I'm reading this story about it. I felt like I was reading something like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon type of thing as they were making the connection from Willis to Virginia Tech, saying that Steve Willis was teammates at K-State with Daryl Dickey, who was on the offensive coordinator at Memphis with Justin Fuente, and he's the Virginia Tech coach. Now, I'm like, man, that's a long way to get to where you're going there. But Ryan Willis announcing that he's going to Virginia Tech, what does that mean for KU football?
You know, I don't think it's a huge blow. I wish him nothing but the best. I think he's a genuinely good kid. And hey, we've seen other Big 12 transfers wind up doing well over there. Michael Brewer did that, leaving Texas Tech at the quarterback position, and I think he beat Ohio State in one of his big wins there. So it's a move for him that I think he needed just to get away and reset it and get a new setting around him, because it wasn't adding up and working out at KU the way he would have hoped. And they just bring in Peyton Bender, a transfer that they have high hopes for. Carter Stanley, the way he closed out the year, shows you've got an incumbent there that you're pretty proud of too. And best case scenario, he was going to be third on the depth chart at a program where he'd already been given the reins and it hadn't worked out. Mm-hmm. So, and that's best case, to be third quarterback on the KU depth chart. So while he is leaving and beginning a climb of similar status at West Virginia, or Virginia Tech, I should say, I think he, at this point, needed some new scenery and a fresh start, because he's got a big-time arm. He's got the prototypical quarterback size. And I think, you know, with some other developments in the ability to read defenses and mental preparation side of the game, could be a really useful quarterback there. So I wish him nothing but the best. But I like what KU has coming back. I think we're really excited about that position, which if you can find one or two guys there based on what they have in terms of defensive personnel and some of the skill position guys offensively, there's real hope that Kansas could make a significant leap in the fall of 2017.
Again, Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, with us here, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency, the new farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle at 118 North Mill and Bloiter. Call them at 738-5701. Brian, time for our off-the-wall conversation. Wade's gone today, and he decided that he needed to be over at his son's GOB, which the first time I ever heard him say that, I'm like, what's GOB? It's Geography B. And he's over there. My question is, have you ever been involved with a Geography B or a Spelling B or any other type of competition like that when you were a kid, and how well did you fare in those kind of competitions?
Yeah, I was. I think I finished fourth or fifth in the Whitson Elementary Geography B back in, gosh, what would that have been like? Same time Danny Manning was cutting down nets in 88. And when Wade told me that last night, I said, make sure your family studies up on those northeastern states because those can get easy to confuse.
Yeah.
But, man, those geographies, man, they're talking about where's Sri Lanka and where's Madagascar and all kinds of tough stuff globally, not just here stateside. So hopefully it goes well. But I did do okay, not top of the class, but near it back in the day. And yet, how many of that stuff do we still remember? You know, I think those that have good retention are a lot better than me because I was one of those guys. I studied really hard for the tests. Knew it for about a week, and then it just kind of slowly drips away. That's probably very true about my geography outside of the USA.
Now, I'm the same way because I was really good in geography and like social studies when I was a kid. And now if you try to tell me where these countries are outside of the U.S., I get lost. So I know exactly what you're talking about. You learn it real quick. 105 counties, you have to learn them, and then it's gone after the week that you had to know it. So Ryan Hanna joining us today. Yeah.
Hey, thanks, Dusty, man. Appreciate you greatly, and thanks to the folks at Anderson over there for making these chats possible.
Sounds good, Brian, and we'll chat with you next week, all right?
All right, sounds good, bud. Take care.
And that was Brian Haney joining us here today on the Sports Ticket.